The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
So people who couldn't remember his name referred to him as a goat man. So I said, "That goat man coming back again?" So I made arrangements for him to come, but I was out of town. So I promised myself that I was going to bring Robbie in and be here to see him. Now, I've heard him preach on CD, but I've never seen him in person. So I'm really excited about him being here. And I'm going to give him the mic and give him as much time as he needs. You can see he brought a few props, I guess is the word. And Robbie, why don't you introduce your family that are here with you today, all right? Now, you've got the mic and you're on.
Good morning. How y'all doing? Y'all can hear me? This is my wife. Stand up, Tammy. Yeah. She's absolutely been the number one in my life as far as bringing me where I'm at today. That's for sure. I've put her through hell, but the Lord has delivered me from hell and delivered her. But I tell you what, if you're not walking one with your wife, you're missing out. I'm going to tell you that right now because they are the biggest support. She is my backbone, and none of this would be happening if it wasn't for her. This is my daughter, Chloe. Stand up, Chloe. Me and my wife has been married 20 years. My son just took off. He was the rowdy one dancing around here. You've probably seen him. And my brother's wife, Michelle, they come around and help us set up wherever we go, and they're part of the ministry also. The name of the ministry is Messiah Ministries. It means the work of Yahweh's hands, and you can actually see everything that's here is actually, it's not, you know, wow me, it's wow Lord, because he's the one that created. He is the architect, and Jesus is the blueprint. Yeshua is the blueprint, and everything you're seeing right here today is called the Tabernacle of Testimony, or the Tabernacle of Moses. But anyway, I just want to appreciate y'all having me here again today. But so let's just pray real quick. Father, I just ask, oh God, Lord, as you've given Moses a voice, as you've given Moshe a voice, Lord, Father, that you'd give me a voice today to speak your word. Father, even through praise and worship, Father, coming into your presence is what it's all about, Lord. The word is so evident of what you want to speak about today. It's all about you, Father, and coming into your presence and just surrendering totally unto you. So, Father, I ask, oh God, that you would give us ears to hear today, Father. Lord, eyes to see you. Father, put these hands to work for you, Lord, and these feet take us places that you want us to go, Father. I ask in the name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Amen, amen, and amen. Anyway, I don't know where to actually get started at, but let me just start at the beginning with y'all. This is called the Tabernacle of Moses. It was, I'll just tell you what the pieces are. This is the brazen altar. If you hear that, you know, the pastors or the preachers call you up and they call you up to the altar to come and give your life to the Lord or to lay your life down, a living sacrifice. This is actually what that altar up there that Pastor Morris and co-pastor and whoever gets up there, that altar represents. It's a place of death. So this is called the brazen altar. It's brass because brass in the Bible represents suffering. This is a place you come to and you really don't want to come to because this is where you have to die to yourself and your ways and your wants and your desires. And sometimes, you know, people try to drag you up here and tie you on to the horn, you know, and you're fighting and kicking. But until you come and actually get in this altar yourself, then, you know, it's pointless. So, you know, us mom and dads, we can drag our kids or we can drag our friends or our brothers and all of that to church and try to, you know, give him Jesus. But unless he makes the decision on his own to die to self, he's just as lost as a goat. So And I just want to say this. I was known, I guess Pastor Morris told me, I was known as the goat man. And I don't know if I like that too much. Because if you go to Revelation, it says he separates his sheep and his goats. And he puts the goats on the left. And I don't want to be on the left. I want to be on the right, so it's the sheep. So this time, I brought literally the sheep. And if y'all haven't met him, you know, the good thing about him is the last time I had a goat here, you know, he pooed all over the floor. He pooped and stuff like that. But I got this one potty trained. So this one's all the way from Israel. This is actually a lamb's wool, sheep's wool. I went to Israel in 2006 and brought him back. And, you know, he promised me he wouldn't make on the floor. So I'm no longer the goat man. I'm the sheep man. So if y'all refer to me as a sheep man, I'd appreciate it. Anyway, but look, I don't want to preach at y'all today. You know, we have enough preaching. I want to teach y'all something. And the Lord had actually gave me a word a couple of weeks ago, and he told me, and the word was information. I was just sitting there. He said, is it information or application? And I'm like, this was last week. I got to go speak at a United Pentecostal church at a men's breakfast. And that was the word the Lord had put on my heart. And all that I'm showing you, the Lord, you know, is it just information to you or is it application? I mean, all of these, when these pastors get up and we hear, you know, prophecy come forth and stuff like that, is that just information to you? Or really, are you taking it and applying it to your life and putting it to work? Because God is not just speaking for, you know, no reason. He's wanting us to hear it, and not only hear it, but do. And it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Oh, I believe. But the Greek word for believe means to hear and follow. Those who hear and follow the word of God shall be saved. But anyway, I don't want to get off track. Anyway, and I promise you I can preach at y'all. I don't think, anyway. This is the brazen altar. This is a laver. It was called a laver in its foot. It was made of brass also. It was a two-part. It was laver in its foot made of two pieces. It was made from the looking glasses of the women. And so they can see their reflection in it. And it's how they, you know, they made themselves pretty. And then you would come to what you call in the tabernacle. This was called the door of the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle of Moses, let me just run through pieces for it. This is the showbread table, table of showbread. Every week on the eighth day, 7 days, they would swap out the bread. And that's very important. On the eighth day, the beginning of the new week, they would actually put new bread on the table. And the thing was, when they would take it off of the table, the showbread, it was, and the priest would eat it. On the seventh day, when they changed the bread out, the bread was hot like it came out of an oven, which is a miracle in itself. Then you have the golden menorah of the lampstand. Then you had the altar of incense. This is where they took the burning coals from the altar that was on the outside. If you remember in Scripture, it says that Hophni and Phinehas, remember, it says they took unclean fire. Here is where you would sacrifice the animal. You would take the best of the burnt offerings and the fire, the coals that was from there, and you would carry it into the holy place and you would put it on the altar of incense. Well, if you go back to Aaron, I'm sorry, I said Hophni and Phinehas. It's actually Aaron, the first ones that was commissioned, was Aaron was the high priest, and his sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Well, Nadab and Abihu took unclean fire, fire that was from not from this altar, and they brought it into the tabernacle of Moses, and they offered it on the altar, and God killed them dead right there. Boom. They was instantly killed. You don't offer unclean fire. And we'll get into that. I'll show you what unclean fire is. And actually, they drug him out, and then he appointed, you know, Eleazar and Ithamar as priests in their stead. Then you would come to, this is the holy place. Let me start back over here again. I'm going to do a lot of walking, so keep up with me. This is the outer courts. Around the outer courts, there was a white veil that went around. And then in front of this altar, they had a door that was supported by four pillars. And then on these four pillars, they had it was like a curtain kind of deal, and it was made of blue, purple, scarlet, embroidered, threaded. And you would walk around this door, and you would come here. And this was out in the open, and so the sunlight was here beating down on these two pieces. And they would come in, and the priests would do what they would have to do. This was actually inside the tabernacle of Moses. This was the only light that was in here was actually the candlestick, the menorah. And then you would come to the veil or the door that actually entered into the Holy of Holies. This is the veil that had been rent from top to bottom. Here, thank you, the only light that was in here in this 10 by 10 area was the Shekinah glory of God. Now, the tabernacle of Moses, if you know anything about it, it's, let me just tell you this. If you read in Hebrews, now, you'll find out that God told Moses, he actually showed Moses the picture of the things that was in heaven. Okay, which is still in heaven today. So if you want to know what's going on in heaven today, you're looking at it. Here it is. And not only is it in heaven today, you can read it in Revelations. Remember when John was caught up. Remember it says, and he was, whether in body or out, he was caught up. And it says, when he appeared, it says, and what's amazing, you'll get a whole new look on Revelations. It says he was caught up and he saw seven lampstands. Where was he caught up to? Into the holy place. Watch this. This is good. He was here. In this place represents Jesus. Right here, when he's caught up into this place. Now remember, he left his body. This is where the flesh is outside, and we'll get into that. He's caught up into the spirit. There was three people, I think, in the Word, if I can remember right, that seen into the temple of the Lord. One was Isaiah in chapter 6. Paul was caught up in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And then John was caught up in Revelations. Remember, Paul says, well, in body, out of body, I don't even know. But, you know, I knew a man such, and you can read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, what caught me, I was reading a while back, and it says, and when John was caught up, it says just like that, in Revelations 2, he's caught up, he sees seven golden lampstands. Remember that?
Yeah.
Immediately, the Lord hit me, and he let me know. And in this place, it says that he meets someone, and this someone, this is, you can write this scripture, this is Revelation chapter 2. He meets someone who has eyes like fire, and a sword is in his mouth. Well, if you can picture it, John, come on, brother. Come, no, my brother, other brother. You're my real brother. John, you John. John is the beloved. You're beloved of the Lord. John is caught up into, and we're going to get into the teaching of it, but I just want to share something with y'all. John is caught up here. You're out of body. No, you're dead, okay? And you're caught up. And the first one that John sees in Revelations 2 is he sees Jesus. And remember, that's all people are supposed to see in you and me is Jesus. And it's amazing because in Revelations chapter 2, John is caught up into this area, okay? And this area right here, this area means something, okay? This is an area, it's a place of communion, which you would have today. Yeah, I was going to have communion today. And the Lord put it on my heart to actually have communion. But I mean, anyway, this is a place of communion. And this is a place where Jesus actually talked to John. And this is what he tells him. He don't give him no hidden things. He don't tell him no hidden things or anything like that. Let me tell you something. Stay right there, bro. Don't go nowhere. Out here, you're not going to receive anything but you dying. And we're going to get into this. In here, this place of communion is where Jesus wants you to come into his presence because Jesus is leading you to his Father. Okay? Here, the first thing that he communes with John is Jesus, who's in heaven, in the temple. Because if you remember, the brazen altar that was in heaven and all the souls that was under the sea, remember that? If you go through Revelations, you'll find all the pieces in the tabernacle where Jesus is right now in heaven. So this is where he's at. The Bible says that he is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, ever making intercession before the Father. The high priest is the only one that can actually come before the Father, which was into the holy place. So here, John, he tells John, he says, my brother, he says, I want you to go back. See, when you come into communion with God, I want you to go back and tell my people. Tell the churches. And he lists out Smyrna, Laodicea, Philadelphia. And he starts laying out the churches. Though you do this and you do that, I have aught against you. This is where Jesus is communing with John. Now watch this. If you read Revelations 4:1, now the only thing that Jesus talks about in here is he talks about the seven churches. He communes with John. But then it says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And I, John, heard a trump that was speaking with me and said, come up hither and I'll show you things to come." Now, wait, if you go back to Revelations 2, he was already caught up. So he's caught up into the holy place right here. But then he hears a voice again, and then it says he's caught up. Come see. He's caught up, it says, into the most holy place. Now, in this place, have a seat, brother. Stay right there by the ark. I want to just read something to you real quick. Watch this. If you go to Revelations 2:17, and this is the importance of knowing God's word, especially in the time that we're in. Especially in the time that we're in. Look at this. It says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto his churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna." The hidden manna. Now watch this. You remember there was three things in the Ark of the Covenant. There was the Ten Commandments, remember, that God actually gave to him. There was Aaron's rod that budded, and there was the golden pot that had manna. The hidden manna was kept inside of the ark. Remember it says in Jeremiah 33, "Call unto me and I'll show you the hidden things, says the Lord." Jesus revealed his heart here in the holy place about his people, the churches. But if you want to know hidden revelations, Proverbs 25, verse 2. It literally talks about it. It says, "It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter." If you want to know the hidden things of God, then you have to come. You're not going to get it here. You're going to get it where the hidden manner is, and the hidden manner was in the Ark of the Covenant. When you come into the presence of the Lord, remember, it says, "And I, John, was caught up into the heavens after I heard the trump, and God showed him things that was to come." And you can only receive that when you're in his presence, in here. You okay? Hang tight, brother. The Tabernacle of Moses. If you actually, even if you go into, and I'm going to show you, it's a picture even for us today. First, it was given to Moses from the Torah. Torah means direction, instruction, and guidance. It is for you today. You have to know it. Because, and I'm telling you why you have to know it, because if you don't know it, you're going to miss out on a lot of the hidden things in God's Word. You're going to miss and just pass over things that are just unbelievable if you don't know the whole word and you only know part of the word. Then, like Paul said, he said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and Hebrews 6. He says, "I want to give you the meat of the word, but you're not able to bear it." When you ought to be teachers, "I want to give you the meat, but you need milk again." The milk of the word is just basically you need to know the stories. Now, I'm not talking about just knowing the basic stories of Jonah and a whale and you know, David and Goliath, of someone actually telling you the story. But go and read it, because there's a lot of more information that's in there that you need to know, that as you begin to read God's word, his word in the New Testament or the New Covenant will make a lot more sense to you. Remember, I came over here with the sword. Remember that? And we cut off the right ear of Malchus. He had no idea what that meant. Oh, he healed an ear. No, he was restoring the hearing back into man. Even, I don't know if I told y'all this, but if you go to Joseph, did I liken it unto Joseph for y'all? if you go to Joseph, remember Joseph goes into a strange land and his brothers, you know the story. I want to give you the meat now. If you don't know the story, you're going to miss it. And this is what Paul was talking about. But if you know the story of Joseph, that he goes into, he's sold into slavery, he goes from the pit to the prison to the palace. It's all symbolic to Christ. And then his brothers come to him. And remember, he does this. He says, they come and they get grain and they in famine and all of this kind of stuff. And it says, and when they came and appeared before him, they leave and they find the money in the sacks and stuff like that. And Joseph said, you're spies. And he does this to him. He says, look, he says, to prove to me you're not spies, that I want you to go back and I want you to get your brother Benjamin to bring him back to me. He said, but in the meantime, I'm going to take your brother from you. He said, I'm taking Simeon from you. And when you bring me back Benjamin, then I'll return Simeon back unto you. Did I tell y'all that? No? You know what Simeon's name means? Hearing. I'm going to take your hearing from you. And when you bring me back Benjamin, whose name means the son of the right hand, which is Jesus, when you bring back Benjamin to me, I'll restore your hearing back unto you. So until, that's why Jesus said, those who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. He's not saying those things for no reason. The people that are out there don't have an ear to hear. But when we come to Jesus, amen, he restores our hearing. And then now you can hear what it is that God is wanting to speak to his sheep and tell you. Is it information to you or is it for application? You've been sitting here. We have been sitting in church for so long. And listen to me. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 40, it talks about a temple that's coming. It says that Jesus is coming back. Everybody's looking for the Lord for return. But don't you know that you're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years in a temple? In a temple? Look at it right there. What do you mean? Well, I'll tell you what I mean. You really better know the concept of what it means to be a gatekeeper, a greeter at the door. In all the positions that God has laid out in his house, because you, my brother, are going to be something in it. You have been appointed to do something because God has appointed you for this time. What it is, just stay right there. Just don't get out of the holy place. But listen, this whole thing, it's amazing. If you go to the last book, if you started in Ezekiel 40, which is amazing, if you go to Ezekiel 40, you'll find out the last verse. From 40 to 48, it's describing the temple. And it tells you how big it is. Now, the temple that's in heaven, it says that the layouts and the foundations is 1,377 miles this way, King James Version. 1,377 miles this way, 1,377 miles this way, and it's four square, 1,377 miles. And it's the same, it's the breadth as the height, it's 1,377 miles straight up. That's the temple, the new holy city, Jerusalem, excuse me, that's coming down out of heaven to where Jerusalem is to set up. Now, if you actually span that out, it would actually, if it come down on the center of Jerusalem, it would actually stretch almost across the Atlantic Sea, half of it. So when you would look from where we're at right now, you could actually see the walls of the city going up. Now, I'm going to stretch you a little bit. Can I stretch you? I can. It's okay? We can have opinions about things, right? Can I just give my opinion about something? If you go to Revelations and you look at some things, it says, and I, John, was caught up, or he was brought up onto a high mountain, and he was shown the new holy city, the city of God. Now, if you study in my studies of the way the Lord has brought me, I've always wondered what the new holy city, Jerusalem, looked like. In the new holy city, we know it lays it out as four square. We know how big it is. And if you go to Ezekiel, it says that the new city, Jerusalem, that Jesus has, where his temple's at, it's only a mile and a half across, a mile and a half this way, a mile and a half this way, and a mile and a half this way. We don't have none. Solomon's temple wasn't that big. Tabernacle of Moses wasn't that big. So we know that we're dealing with, they had a tabernacle of Moses. They had Solomon's temple that was destroyed in 586 B.C. They had Zerubbabel's temple, which became Herod's temple, who built it upon that, which was destroyed on Av the 9th in 70 A.D. Now watch. On Av the 9th, the very same day in 586 B.C. is the exact same day that Solomon's temple was destroyed. Check that out. On the exact same day that Solomon's temple was besieged by King Nebuchadnezzar and destroyed was the same time that Herod's temple was destroyed in 70 A.D. Exact same day. But these are different temples. There is a temple to come which you and I will rule and reign in. That's only a mile and a half this way that we'll have our positions. Then there's another temple which is in heaven right now where Jesus is before the Father. And watch. And we know that that temple's coming because if you read in Ezekiel chapter 48, the very last verse, it says that after he describes it and all of this stuff, he says, and the Lord is there. But anyway, I don't know where I was going with all of that, but I just, what I want to do is just really just kind of come through and show you the importance of where it is that God wants to take you. And where we need to be. And what we need to know. I mean, God just didn't give us this word, this little book. I remember I never read it. You know, and these instructions, this letter that God has given us, which calls us into Him. Because He wants to impart some stuff into us. And what's amazing is there's also another temple, which is you and me, which is the dwelling place of God now. He dwells here, but one day we're going to dwell with Him. It's amazing if you know, if you go all the way back to the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden, to which was a temple, there was only one way in. There's only one way into the Tabernacle of Moses. There's only one way in to Solomon's temple. There was only one way in Noah's Ark. It was a dwelling place coming into God. So you had the garden that was eastward in Eden. You had Noah's Ark. It's the same thing. It's a temple, a dwelling place. Three levels, outer court, inner court, holy of holies. It repeats itself. Then you had the tabernacle of Moses. You had the tabernacle of David, which was a tent tabernacle. Then you had Solomon's temple. Then you had Zerubbabel, Herod's temple. Then you had Jesus, who is the full embodiment. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwelling in the body. That's what He's doing with us right now. Then you're going to have the new temple that's going to be built, the one that Jesus is going to rule and reign in for 1,000 years. Then, after that's gone, Satan is loose for a short time. Then you have the new holy city, Jerusalem, come down. And for the first time right there, it says there's no temple. But watch this. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about Moses. Moses. It says God comes to Moses and He tells him on Mount Sinai, I want you to go and set My people free. And if you go back to the garden, because man sinned, he was put out. He can no longer be in the presence of God any longer. So God's got to devise a plan from the very beginning to actually where He can dwell or commune with man again. So what He does is He makes the way to come into Him. In the tabernacle of Moses, this is called the way. This is the only way you can get to God, through the altar and the laver. This is what the priest had to do. This is the holy place. This is called the truth. Everything in here, Jesus is the truth. He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. Okay? He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, meaning every piece in here is symbolic to Christ. In His suffering, He had to go to the cross. Remember? He had to be baptized. Even Jesus. That's kind of like, wow. So if you kind of get in a, well, I don't know if I need to be baptized to be saved. I don't know if you do or you don't, but I know what the Word says. And if Jesus did it, I'm just going to get in line because I'm going to do it. I don't want to have to answer for it. I wasn't better than Him and He ain't had no sin. But when you know the Word, and people will debate you on those things, and I'm not a debater. I just love the Lord. And what you can take, take. If it's good, eat it. If it's bad, even I serve bad things, throw it to the side. Because I'm just a man like you. In fact, I'm just a construction worker. You know, so let the Lord lead. But anyway, I'll tell you about the priest. The children of Israel, when Moses set them free, or God set them free for the 10 plagues, the sacrifice on Passover, Nisan 14, y'all know that, they had to take a lamb before the door. And I got 35 minutes to give you about 3 hours or 4 hours of jam pace. Y'all be ready, because I'm fixing to put about 20 pounds in y'all 10-pound bags. Literally, when you leave here today, your cup's really going to runneth over, and you ain't going to know what to talk about. But anyway, I'm going to give you some stuff. It says, Moses, this is what he says. He says, Moses, he said, I want you to take a lamb on the 10th day of Nisan. I want you to take it before the door of your house. Okay? This was the door to the tabernacle of Moses. Before they got to the tabernacle, they had to take this lamb to the door on the 10th day of Nisan. On the 10th day of Nisan, literally, they would take a lamb, they would take it inside the house for 4 days. Moses took it inside, and he took care of it. And all the kids and the children and everybody checked the lamb, made sure there was no blemish, brushed the lamb, took care of the lamb, loved the lamb, fed the lamb, did everything to the lamb that they were supposed to do for 4 days. Or for 4,000 years. Wait, now, I'm totally messed y'all up, huh? I'll tell you, I'm going to mess with y'all a little bit today. Jesus came 4,000 years after creation, the Lamb of God. That's why they took it in the house for 4 days. And then they killed him on the 4,000th year. Now watch. I'm going to mess with y'all good. Anyway, so they took the lamb in for 4 days. On the 14th day of Nisan, they took the lamb in on the 14th day. I want to tell you something, brother. Mike, you called me. You called me. That time you left a message for me. I called you about, man, 8 or 10 times. Man, trying to get you back, but your voicemail kept saying it wasn't set up to, you know. But anyway, I love you, guy. Hey, Rick, how you doing, man? Good to see you. Anyway, they took the lamb. That guy right there, he's something. Anyway. They took the lamb in on the 14th. They took it in the house on the 10th day of Nisan. On the 14th day of Nisan, the whole family, they would come outside the door of the house. And then God said, kill the lamb. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is the whole reason they kept it inside of the house for 4 days. Because it was personal. It was personal. He wanted you to behold him and feel him and touch him. And live, let that lamb live in your presence. And on the 14th day of Nisan, you and the kids and the whole family come out after he's laid out all the plagues and everything. Put your hand on top of its head. Now listen to me. When you brought the sacrifice to the priest in the tabernacle of Moses and the temples, the priest didn't do the sacrifice. You did. You did it. You killed him. You would place your hand on top of the lamb's head, like so. Can everybody see? Let me put him on the altar. You would place your hand on top of the lamb's head like this, and the priest would put his hand on top of you. And then he would give you the knife, and then you would reach underneath him, and you would cut him. And while it was a transition of his sin, of your sin, to this lamb, and the innocence of this lamb who's done nothing would then be placed on you, on your behalf of your sin, or however you want to. He was the atonement. He was atoning for your sin. And as he drew his last breath, you would hold your hand on his head. This is exactly how they do it. I got Cordo's temple instructions to building and the process of the priest, and I've studied all of that. I got astray from Jerusalem, from the Temple Institute. You know, I bought it directly from them to know exactly how they do it. And as he would draw his last breath and he would collapse to the ground, then the innocence of that lamb would be imparted to you. Then you would take this lamb from here. This is your sacrifice you're bringing. And then you would take it outside and you would actually tear off its hide, its flesh. Because no flesh can actually enter into the presence of God. The entrails, you would do this. All the entrails in the inside would be taken, thrown out, the bowel, with the flesh, because that's, remember Jesus said what goes into the mouth is not what defiles you. What goes into the mouth comes out in the draught, but it's what comes out of your mouth is what defiles you. Well, the flesh and the entrails was taken out. Now you had the best part of the lamb. Now the priest would take it. But you did what you were supposed to do. Okay? That's like you. Nobody can drag you to this altar and remove your flesh. The only one that can do that is you. So if you got to drag yourself, drag yourself. But somebody dragging you here is not going to get it done. Then remember, in Moses, then they took the blood, they caught it in a basin on the 14th day of Nisan. On the 10th day of Nisan, they took it in the house. On the 14th day of Nisan, they brought it outside the house, and they killed it, and they took it, and they put it on the doorpost, the two doorposts, they wiped it in the lintels, and then the death angel passed over. Remember that? Okay. Then they're set free. From there, now watch this, from the death, it just so happens that when they leave Egypt, they go directly to the Red Sea. Remember? The water. This is called the brazen altar. This is called the brazen laver. Okay? It's two parts, the laver and its foot. It had a twofold meaning because of, number one, it represents baptism. Repent. This is where you die to self. Repent and be baptized for remission of sins. And then you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. When they set this up with the tabernacle of Moses, remember, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, and Aaron, they said, when you kill the sacrifice, when you kill it, whatever you do, do not, under any circumstances, try to come in through the door without washing. Because if you do, I'll kill you dead. Pretty strict. Hold on a second now. So you mean to say, I could come up here and die and ask Jesus to come into my heart. And I can bypass baptism. You ain't getting no entrance. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't want to stand before God and say, well, I thought... Wait, hold on a second, because God's going to say, let me see now. There was a river in the garden, right? Hold on. And then I gave you an example with Noah and the ark. Noah's ark was pitched within and without. The word kafar, it was smeared with blood, the Hebrew word. And then I flooded the whole earth, blood and water. In order to make the earth clean, and you and I is made out of the earth, right? I had to totally immerse it in water. Wow. It says, he told the priests, when you kill the animals, make sure you wash or you mikvah, baptism, before you come into my presence. Now, he said it with Noah's Ark. He said it with the tabernacle of Moses. There was a big brazen sea by that altar right there, the tabernacle, the temple of Solomon. There was a brazen sea and an altar. Jesus came and he stepped into the Jordan. We get crazy, though. Yeah, make me go there. Anyway, so God is laying out his plan for you and me to come unto him. And he says this, come to the altar, repent, and be baptized for remission of sins, every one of you. And you shall receive or be able to come into his presence, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You ever ask yourself why the people of the world don't understand the things of the Lord? But yet we do. Why can you tell someone who's in the world who says, man, I read that thing. I don't understand that thing. Because they're in the wrong light. Watch this. You got it. This was outside. They carried this around. for 40 years in the wilderness. Don't let me lose that right there. I'm going to go back to that. Why they understand it with the light. Don't let me forget that. Remember the light. Now, I'm going to stay there. Lord. You never know, man. Just there's so much. Just God is just running. I want to just give it all to you. But Alan told me, don't give him a jam sandwich. Man, I just want to just open you up and pour this stuff in you, man. Anyway, I lost where I was at. The light. People on the outside, when you come to the Lord and you come into the gate, okay? The gate is called the way. There's four pillars. 1, 2, 3, 4 that support the gate. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The way is the Gospels. Repentance and baptism. When you come to the gate, you step in. You're standing in the outside light, and what you see when you walk in is, wow, man, what is this? Well, I want to go in there. No, there ain't no entering here, Bubba. You go in there, you're going to die. Ain't no entering. The priest would stop you. No way. First thing you have to do in order to receive this new light of information is you're only, the people of the world is standing in this light out here, which is the light of the world. Listen, there's no revelation right here. You're standing in the light of the sun that's out here. That's all they see. They don't understand. When you try to tell people the deeper things of God, man, let me tell you about the lampstand, the altar of incense. You got to come, and unless you got to worship Him in spirit. And they like, what are you talking about? Because they never repented and had been baptized to receive the Holy Spirit. When you got this light, you see, you've come out of this light now. Now you have new light that's in you. That's this light shines on the showbread table, which is where you have communion with the Lord. It's where He sits with you. It's where He speaks with you. It's where He shares His heart with you. It's not where He talks about people. It's where He shares His heart about how we love people, how we care about people. He don't tell you in here about people's faults. If you're hearing that, you're talking to the wrong guy. Because when you come in here, the only thing that you're going to see is Him, and you're going to see a reflection of yourself, and you're going to be on your face. Woe is you. Woe is me. For I am a man undone of unclean lips. So, this light out here, until you come here and walk through here, this is the way, this is the truth. What is the truth? The lampstand represents the Spirit of God, the light of the world. You are the light of the world. The priest, they had to, every morning and every evening, they had to take the wick. This was lampstand oil. They had to fill it in the morning and in the evening. That's why the Lord says you have to continually put in the Word of God in you that you're filled. Because if not, you'll just start burning dimmer and dimmer and dimmer until you go out. But not only that, the priest would actually trim the wicks so the light would burn brighter. So when you're going through things in your life, it might be just God trimming your wick to actually have you burn brighter. The wicks in the candlestick was actually made from the priest's clothes. They would take the garments and cut it up, and that's what they used the wick. Once you receive the light of the Holy Spirit, repent and be baptized for remission of sins, and now you can enter in through the door. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which now enables you to eat the bread, which is Christ, and have communion with Him. And when you commune with Him, the Bible says, those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Once you've done this, now having eyes to see in a new light all that God has done for you, this now causes you to fall down at the altar of incense and worship Him in spirit and in truth and what He's actually done for you.
Amen.
Then, now, when you come here, remember, all of this is leading you to one place, which is God. This is where you want to be. Because now, when you come here, and you're in the holy place, you have access, the veil is rent from top to bottom. Now, He shows you things to come. He shows you hidden things. He starts fellowshipping with you and, man, everything that the Lord has showed me, the hearing, restored your hearing. Where did you think that come from? It didn't come from here. It definitely didn't come from out here. It had to come from back there. And I'm going to tell you, no one, I've never, ever in my life heard what I've told you. It comes from here. God begins to reveal things to you. This whole process, watch this. The gate is called the way. This is the way. This is the door, which is the truth. And this is the light. Get up, brother. Come here. Why don't you do something for me? I'm going to show you where God wants to meet you. There's a veil that's in the front up here. There was a veil that was right here. Okay, I want you to stand right there. Imagine a veil right here, because this is how it was. Okay? God, all He wants to do is have fellowship and communion with you. So what He does is, this is where God's at. And He wants to provide the way to come to you. But you must do something as well. You can't just sit there like a bump on a log and say, one day, there's some things that you must do. The provision has been made. The sacrifice is there. It's a gift. But now, He's calling you to come unto Him. Come to the cross. Come to the sacrifice that He's made. So here I'm standing in the tabernacle of Moses. And right now I'm in the holy place where God is. I represent God. And you represent a man coming to you, coming to God, and I'm going to come to you. So the first thing God does is God steps through where He's at. And He comes through a veil. Just make one step. You come through a veil. Boom. Stop. When God comes here, He says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to offer my best sacrifice. The altar of incense represents Christ. What He did was perfect. God was given His best. He says, here it is. I'm giving my Son. Right? So now you have to give of yourself at where you're standing at. That's a brazen altar. This is the altar of incense. Remember? Now watch this. God makes another step. And in His step, or you can reverse it, but this is the light of the Holy Spirit. You are standing in the light that's outside that God has provided for you to see what it is that you must do to come unto Him. His next thing is we know that the bread is the Word of God. The next thing you have to come to is the laver, which means come forward, come to the Word. The laver represented the washing of the regeneration of the Word of God, which represents the Bible. It's a twofold purpose, labor in its foot. It means repentance and baptism, and it was made of the looking glasses of women. That way, when you begin to read God's Word, He reveals what it is that you must do to come unto Him. You begin to see yourself in the reflection of the Word of God, of who you are and who He is. And once you've done that, then God moves from here to the door, from here to the door, and then you step forward, and that's when He says, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter in. You bypass any of this You've missed it. Now here, this, you're, listen to, bro, listen to me, brother. This is God's house you're in. You hear what I'm saying? That means when I come by your house, and I'm going to come by your house one day, and you're going to come by mine, you don't sit outside on my front doorstep. You don't sit outside in the street out here. Huh? What did I say, brother? Come on in. Come into my house. Here it is. In God's house, there's a kitchen. Here's a place you eat. Yeah. Want something to eat, brother? You know, we eat good. I'm Italian. I would go eat good. But in God's house, there's rooms. There's, this is where you visit. This is where you sit down and have fellowship with friends and whatever it is that you got set up. This is his house. Now watch this. This back here, this is the place of intimacy. This is his house and this is his room. If you want intimacy with God, on a level that you have never... You married, brother? You married. Your wife's here with you?
No,
sir. I'm going to talk about my wife then. There's... Watch this. There's places you can come. I can go in your house. I ain't going to talk about my wife. But let me say, that's why it's a personal relationship. That's what God is calling you into. Because he wants to spend some intimate times with you. He wants intimacy. See, I can't come in a bedroom with you and your wife. That's why I can't come in a bedroom with you and God. This is his place of intimacy. You are going to learn things about God. He's going to reveal things to you that only he wants to tell you.
Amen.
This is what makes it intimate. You're going to... You know all about intimacy. All right, good. Shut up. Man, this right here, listen, is not gone. Jesus is in heaven right now in one. He is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, ever making intercession before the Father. Go read Revelations. There's seven lampstands. Representing seven churches. So in heaven, what does these lampstands represent? If you would be caught up into the holy place in heaven, you would see the lampstands represent people because we are the light of the world. When John was caught up, he said lampstands, but it was peoples he saw. Come on now. And underneath the altar were the souls of the saints that was killed and martyred for Jesus. This is what he saw. Man! Son! There's so much. If you know this, now when you read Revelations, you see a picture is going to click to you. And I saw the souls of them that was beheaded for the Lamb. They was under the altar. Now you're going to think, wow, man. They was under the altar. An altar. A literal altar. These are horns of the altar. They would take the Lamb here and they would tie him to the horn of the altar. The horn represents power and authority. There's power and authority in a ram when they hit. That's where they... That's sin. Sin has power and authority, and they would tie that lamb up to it, and he couldn't get off of it. Because he's bound on it. If you know anything about the word, if you remember Joab. Remember Joab killed somebody. The leader of David's army killed Abner's son, right? He wasn't supposed to. When Joab was going to die, when he found out he was going to die, he ran to the altar and held on to the horns of the altar. And they said, and David's leader of his host said, David wants you. He said, I ain't going nowhere's my die. I'm going to die right here holding on to this horn. The altar, the place of death. And they slew him under the fifth rib right at the altar. The altar is a place of death. Paul said, I die daily. But you are a living sacrifice. That means you have to take this flesh, its wants, its desires, and all that it wants, and you have to put them on the altar. Every day. You are, now he didn't say you are a dead sacrifice, because you still have to carry this flesh kicking and screaming, whatever it's got to do each and every day, to do what it is that God has called you to do. Putting your flesh down each and every day. And Lord only knows it's a battle for every single one of us. Every one of us. Sometimes I feel like I'm there. And I feel like I'm there. But the next day, I feel like I'm somewhere else. And that's the truth. This right here ain't going nowheres until the new holy city, Jerusalem, comes out of heaven. Because then it says there's no temple. The process of dying is not going to stop until we die, one. It's appointed to a man once to die and then a judgment. We know we're all going to die. But once this time that God has got laid out, from Genesis to Revelations, this dying process and this temple process is not going to stop. And I might step on a few toes here. I don't know. And I'm not really stepping on your toes. But it kind of blew me away. If you go read Ezekiel 40 to 48, it says that it's Jesus' tabernacle, his temple. Because it says the Lord is there. And it says they resume the sacrifices. I've played with that one. And looked at it. The sacrifice is done and over with. We know that. It's finished. But I was like, Lord, why do you start the sacrifices again? I don't know. I got my opinions. I don't want to give you opinions today. I want to give you facts. This is a fact. Now watch this. How many people know the full armor of God? Amen. Everybody. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, sword of spirit, shield of faith, gird about your loins the belt of truth, shout your shoes, preparation of the gospel of peace. Paul talked about that. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. If you ask a Pharisee, you ask a Hebrew scholar how many Torahs there are. Torah is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They would tell you there's two Torahs. What do you mean there's two Torahs? Well, there's the written Torah of Moses, and there's the oral Torah, which is the words that God spoke unto Moshe, which is the Mishnah, the Talmud, the Midrash, is these things. I don't know where I was going with that. But anyway, Lord, I don't know where I was going with that. Boy, shut that down. Anyway. But these things. This is. Oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you, baby. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. It's by no chance that Paul, God chose Paul to do all the writings that he done in the Bible. He didn't choose Peter. He didn't choose John. He didn't choose none of the other 12, especially 11, because Judas killed himself. He chose Paul. Paul knew the Torah by the age of 12 years old. He could quote it verbatimly. He studied under the feet of Gamaliel. He knew it. He was the temple man. He knew, oh, that's what I was going to tell you. I said, who knew the full armor of God? And what I was telling you was, when Paul said something, you see, put on the full armor of God every day, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. He wasn't thinking about that. He was thinking about that when he wrote it. He was in prison and he was watching the Roman guards every day. They were getting dressed. You need to put yourself there so you have better insight. But watch this. The tabernacle. It's the way, the truth, and the life. This is where salvation is. Stay there, brother. When Paul said, watch this, put on a helmet of salvation, he's talking about the holy place. Christ, our righteousness, put on the breastplate of righteousness. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the bread, and the shield of faith, the Holy Spirit is the one who blocks you from the fiery darts from the enemy. Helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. Watch this. Remember, it was called the way, the truth, and the life is salvation. Helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness. The sword of the Spirit. The shield of faith. Gird about your loins with the belt of truth at the door. Now watch this. Remember the way, the truth? I'm not making nothing up. This is it. Watch this. You think you got me now? He says, and gird about your loins with the belt of truth, and shod your shoes with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's only one thing, but I got two pieces. The gospel of truth is repent and be baptized. It's the same thing. Watch this. If you go in Exodus and read it, this is just blew me away. Helmet of salvation, the Ark of the Covenant. The altar of incense is the breastplate of righteousness. The shield of faith is the showbread table. The sword of the Spirit is the lampstand. Huh? I'm sorry. Gird about your loins with the belt of truth is the door. Shod your shoes with the preparation of the gospel of peace is repentance and baptism. This, if you go to Exodus, it says, when he lays out the tabernacle pieces, he tells the children of Israel, pick up the ark, pick up the curtains, the boards and its sockets and all of that thing. And he says, and take the altar, and he don't say the laver. He says, take the altar and its accessories. It's one piece. You can't have one without the other. These two go together. Repent and die and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which shines its light on the showbread table, which enables you now to commune with Christ. You can listen to this. That's why the people of the world, when they pray, they're out here. They haven't repented and been baptized. God can't hear you from here. You hear what I'm saying? He's in heaven, and there's a couple of doors in veils that are blocking you from getting your prayers answered from the Father. If you're not saved, these people out there with this storm, oh God, save me. Oh God, save me. It's bouncing off their car tops. It's bouncing off the ceilings. If you don't have Jesus, you're not getting into the presence of God. This. Once you've done this and you have Jesus, you have access into His presence. Come boldly before the throne of grace, right? To obtain mercy, I think, and find help in your time of need. You can't scream for it out here. And you know what? You can't pull your loved ones in here. Anyway, I was going to get into some stuff, but I think that's enough for today. But let me tell you this. I'm going to close with this. They took the lamb in on the 10th day of Nisan. Remember that? Which is April, March, April. They took him in on the 10th day of Nisan. They cared for him. They killed him on the 14th day. Jesus came riding in on the 10th day of Nisan to the temple. Same day Moses takes the lamb into his house, Jesus rides in to Herod's house. To your house, God's house, the temple. He rides in on the same exact day. He stays in the house with them, makes manifest himself to them in the temple. Then he leaves on that very day, the 14th day of Nisan. They took Jesus the same time they killed the lamb. They took Jesus on the 14th day of Nisan and crucified him outside of the city gate. Outside of the house on the exact same day. Thank you. 5 minutes on the tape. Got to make it fast. So on that, now watch this. Jesus, lamb's dead. Jesus, he goes in the ground. He comes in on the 10th day of Nisan. We're going fast forward now. 10th day of Nisan, they kill him on the 14th day of Nisan. Same thing with Moses. Moses took the lamb in the house on the 10th day of Nisan. They killed the lamb on the 14th day of Nisan. They left Egypt on the 17th day of Nisan. They're coming up out of the Red Sea on the other side. The same day on the 17th day of Nisan, Jesus is coming out of the ground on the same day. Tell me God is not trying to say something to us. Man, if that don't put a light, man, we go, whoo, son! Getting fired up. You can't get that out here. You can only get that in here. So get out from out there and get in here in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. That's tomorrow.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Robbie. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wow. Man, I feel like I'm in the holy place. That was great. Thank you, Robbie. Appreciate all your energy and bringing this here. I'll tell you what, Robbie, I'm like you. I don't know if you need to get baptized, but I think you sure made a good case for it. You know, I think you made a good case for it. If you're here this morning, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe you've been sprinkled when you were a kid, or maybe you've got some kind of other thing going, or maybe you didn't know the Lord when you got dunked, if I were you, I'd make plans to get baptized. And if you want to get baptized, come see me before you leave, and we'll make arrangements, and we'll have a big baptism party, and we'll even let Robbie come down and help. How's that sound, all right? We'll get a bunch of people to get baptized, and we'll get Robbie to come down here and help do that. But I think you need to prayerfully consider about that. And if you're on the outside and you don't know the Lord, I'd encourage you to die to yourself. And ask Christ into your life and receive His sacrifice. Amen? We're going to do something that I was going to do and then I wasn't going to do it and I changed my mind. But boy, Robbie said something made me really think we need to do it. And that's to have communion today, all right? We have all the elements to do that. You got them all prepared? Okay. Why don't you come get the elements and come over here. And what we're going to do, this is going to be... I need to think a little bit how we're going to do this. Who's doing this? Okay. So you and Mom are going to do it? Okay. Well, come on up here when you get stuff, and we'll tell you what to do. What I'm going to do is put them right No, don't move that. Oh, you're going to.
Oh, go ahead.
No, no, no. I was going to get them to stand right there in that little opening. They'll have their back to you. That's okay. And I'm going to have everybody come around. You're going to have to work your way around. Come to the front of this showbread. Come over here, Mike. You and Rosalie, come stand right there. No, 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 no. They're going to hold it. They're okay. They're going to stand right where you are. Get right there, Mike. Just right there. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Rosalie, stand next to her. Okay, good. Now I like that, all right? Now let me tell you some information for you. Those of you who've come here frequently have heard me say this, but I want to treat it for everyone else, and we need to hear it. You've been misinstructed about communion. You've been told to examine yourself, see if there's any sin in yourself, and to confess it, and get cleaned up so you can receive communion. That's not true. It says to examine yourself and see if you're the body. If you are a believer, you can come. You're clean because Jesus made you clean. We're not to be thinking and dwelling on our sin. He said to remember Him. So when we receive communion, I want you to remember Him and what He did. And Robbie did a good job of pointing that out to us today, all right? So you're going to come and remember Him. If you're a believer, you're entitled to come. We are encouraged to come. You're invited to come. If you are an unbeliever, don't come in this place. If you haven't repented of your sins, if you haven't received Jesus Christ in your life, don't come into this holy place. The Scripture said, if you eat the bread and drink the cup unworthily as an unbeliever, you bring condemnation. He said, that's why some of you are sick and some of you are even dead. I wouldn't do it. If you're a believer, you can come. Come joyfully, okay? Now, the other thing we do a little different is we have wine, real wine. It's King David wine. We get it from a Jewish place, all right? And we have regular grape juice. If you're under the age of 18, you cannot have anything but grape juice, all right? No wine. If you're older than that, you can choose whichever one you want. It doesn't matter. It's just something that I like to do around here. So you can have wine or you can have grape juice, all right? Does that make sense? So what I'm going to do is... Pat, can you come here, honey, and hold this mic for me? It said that Jesus blessed the bread. And Father, we bless this bread, this unleavened bread which speaks of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the perfect Lamb of God. And we thank You for this bread, Father. Thank You, Father. Let Your blessings be upon it as we sanctify it and set it apart this morning. And Father, for this... wine and this grape juice, Lord, its crimson color reminds us of what Jesus Christ did when He shed His blood for us. We ask Your blessings upon it, Father.